Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive your word. Because we know that this word is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will never, ever return to you void. It will never return empty. It will never return powerless. But it will accomplish your will in our lives as we receive it by faith, as we walk in it. I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for the honor of ministering your word. It's a great honor indeed. And we give you the glory for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so you're still at Romans chapter 15, excuse me. I'm going to begin reading. I'll just begin reading really at verse 1. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples, or scruples, or you can say weaknesses and so forth, of the weak, and do not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Now, let's pay special attention to verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You get that? Matter of fact, I want to read it to you again. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. You know, when you pick up your Bible, those words there are for our learning. Amen. For our edification. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. Hope. Hope in a time like this. Hope. Are you with me? Now I want to read this same verse 4 to you from the New Living Translation. It says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. That's the reason I always point you folks to the Word of God. That's again, I always point you to the Word of God, because that will never change. And if God said it, it's going to happen. Amen. Now, I understand this, that some of God's promises are conditional. They're promises and they stand. They'll never move, but they're conditional. What do I mean by that? The condition is if we will do what the Word of God says. If we will cooperate with Him. If we will cooperate with the Word, if we will cooperate with God, then we will have what He's promised in the Scriptures. But now, if we choose to rebel or if we choose to just ignore what He said, then don't expect anything to happen. But don't blame God for it. Don't blame God. As a believer today, well, really, as a person, as a human being, one of the things we should be doing is going, pursuing the promises of God, going after the promises of God. And reason I said not just for believers, but those who don't know Jesus yet, that's where it all began. One day in my life, I heard the Word of God. You know, many of you know my story. Great preacher by the name of Billy Graham preached many services. His meetings were televised, and I had an opportunity as a teenager to watch one of his services. Changed my life. But he began to preach, as he always did, the Word of God, and letting us know what God had promised us and what He had given us. And I learned that I could have salvation. I could be born again if I would go after it. You still here? If you read the Bible, you'll find out that it tells us that we are laborers together with God. We work together. We are in covenant with Him as believers. We are in covenant with Him. And if we'll do what He tells us to do, He's certainly going to do what He said He's going to do, because we're in covenant together. God is a covenant God. You hear me? God is a covenant God. Now, in our Bibles, we have the Old Testament, and then we have the New Testament. Another way of saying that is we have the Old Covenant, and then we have the New Covenant, because God is a covenant God, and God wants to go into covenant with us. So I went into covenant with God when I found out that I could be born again, when I realized that I was on my way to hell. I know some folk don't like to talk about hell, but you can not talk about it if you don't want to. It don't change a thing. It don't change a thing. Amen. But I realized that I was on my way to hell. But then through the hearing of the Scriptures, I found out that I could change my direction. God gave me a promise, and I took Him up on His promise. I'm home by myself, and I went in this little house we lived in. It was four of us that lived there, my dad, my mom, my sister, and me, but it was a little house, and it only had one bedroom. You remember, don't you? Actually, it was two bedrooms, but nobody would ever sleep in the other one, because you had to go outside and then go into the other room. You had to go out on the porch. You go out the house, go on the porch, and make a left, and go in that other room. And I think we all decided, which we were kids, but the decision was made, we're not sleeping out here. So it was kind of more or less a little storage room, I believe. So we had one bedroom with two beds. I had a bed, Mom and Dad and Cora had a bed. And we were all in the same room. Little house. Minister Streeter, you know where that house is, don't you? Amen. And that's that little house. I was 9 years old when we moved there. But here's my point. I was home by myself that day. Wasn't anybody there. I went in that bedroom, and I didn't kneel at my bed. I kneeled at my parents' bed and Cora's bed. And it gave my life to Jesus Christ, changed my life. I have never been the same since. Why? Because I pursued a promise. I pursued a promise. I found out I could be saved. And I went after it. Glory to God. We must take that same attitude. Whatever God has promised us, go after Him. Later on, I found out that I could be baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Guess what I did? I went after it. Guess what happened? I got it. You go after it. I found out that He promised me and had already purchased for me health and healing for my body. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, by His stripes we were healed. By His stripes we were healed. By His stripes I am healed. I were healed. Guess what? I went after it. I went after it. And we all are challenged from time to time in our bodies. Am I right?
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because we do live in a fallen world. When Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, one of the things that He prayed to His Father, He says, Father, I'm not praying that You take them out of the world. But then the King James Version says it this way: I'm not praying that You take them out of the world, but I pray that You keep them from evil. Which, if you do some research on that, you find out that He was talking about, Father, I'm not praying that You take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Why? Because the evil one is always trying to start something. He walks around as a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. Amen. So that's the reason we have to take a stand. We have to know what God has promised us and take our stand on it and refuse to move off of it. My body may try to act different than it should act. I might feel different than I should feel, but you know what? What do? You find the Word of God and you stand on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone walked up to you, brother, and says, oh, that's a nice looking tablet you got there. Is that yours? And let me ask you, is that yours? It belongs to you. So now what if somebody said, well, that's a nice looking tablet, man. I want that for myself. And then just go ahead and grab it and walk off. What are you going to do? You might not want to tell me everything. But my point is, you're going to do something. But too many times we let the devil slap us around, we let situations knock us around, and we don't do absolutely nothing when Jesus has given us all the weapons we'll ever need to be victorious. You hear me? So when the enemy tried to steal your health or your finances or whatever it may be, take your stand on what God has promised us. Take your stand. Take your stand. Take your stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Having done all to do what?
Stand.
Having done all to do what?
Stand.
Say it again.
Stand.
Having done all to stand. Stand. You stand. Glory to God. We find out what God promised and we go after it. Hallelujah. He promised us peace, didn't he? Walk in it. If you're troubled in some area, go ahead and deal with that right now and stand on God's word. Amen. Trust him. I like what 1 Timothy, turn there with me, says. The fourth chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read one verse here. And I want to point out something in this verse. Verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise for the life that is, that now is, and of that which is to come." You grab that? Let me see. Give me the New Living Translation for that on the screen, please. I believe that's where I want to go. Physical training is good. Amen. How many of you out here, you do physical training? Yeah, you better raise your hand. I know you do. Amen. That's good. I'm proud of you. Amen. I'm proud of you. And I do my physical training a little bit different than most of you. I try to do as much walking as I can. I haven't been lifting weights. I probably need to. But Miss Katie there, she's faithful to it. She every week as much as she can. She's at the gym. Amen. I have my gym membership too. Am I right? Yeah, I'm a member of the gym. Got my own key. Hadn't used it in a few years, but I got it. So physical training is good, right? There's not a thing wrong with physical training. We need to physically train. I just do mine a little bit different. But we need to exercise our bodies, keep it in shape. You do yours a little different too, don't you? Do you lift weights? Now you walk. Are you still walking? You still walk miles, right?
Well, I'm back to it now.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. And that's a good thing. But now here's the point I'm making here. The Word of God says physical training is good. But training for godliness is what?
Much better.
Much better. Training for godliness is much better. In other words, godliness is pleasing God. Godliness is walking in His Word, in obedience to His Word. Amen? Godliness is living an obedient lifestyle, living a pure lifestyle. And we could go on and on. I could preach a whole sermon on that. But for godliness, is much better promising. You see that word? Everybody say promising.
Promising.
Say it again.
Promising.
Promising benefits where?
In this life.
Stop right there. Promising benefits in this life. Some folks don't think God cares about their situation in this life. He does. If you can't feed your kid, God is concerned about that. If you can't pay your bills, God is concerned about that. Because he promised us that he would meet our needs in this life. That he would heal our bodies in this life. That we can live a life of peace in this life. Now, let me stop a minute. Don't read anything into that I didn't say. I didn't say you won't be challenged. I didn't say you won't be tempted, because we're not in heaven yet. But I can tell you this, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You hear me? He made us victorious in this life. But you're not a conqueror unless you've conquered something. You're not victorious unless you won in some areas. That's the reason the Word of God tells us to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We got to fight the good fight of faith while we're here and lay hold on eternal life. Now, I want to read this to you again because I want you to get it. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life. Now, finish it.
And in the life to come.
There is a life to come. I said there is a life to come. But until we get over in the life to come, we got to live the life that we're in right now. I've heard people make this statement before about an individual or individuals, and you know, and I make no comments, I just listen. Well, you know, they so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, you know what? God wants us to be both. Heavenly minded and earthly good. Working for him while we're in the earth, but knowing that there's a great life to come, that we have a great future ahead of us. Y'all listening to me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But you know what? Many Christians don't really know who God is. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible. Go to the 17th chapter. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We was in a meeting early in the week, and I won't call his name because we're live streaming, so I'm not going to call his name, but many of you know him. But they recognize him because he is 104 years old, still driving his automobile. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Don't call his name. If anybody asks you, you can tell them after service. 104. Still, I see him out driving around. What a blessing. Now, verse 1 again. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. Now, Abram later became Abraham. Y'all know that, right? The Lord appeared to him, to Abram, and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I think the original King James said be perfect. Am I right there? Yeah, perfect. Walk before me and be perfect or be blameless. But notice something. When God spoke to Abram, God identified who he is. And he told Abram, I am Almighty God. Almighty God. The God that's more than enough. Much more than enough. Why don't you just why don't you just lean over somebody, or you might not be close enough, but just tell them, God is more than enough to meet your needs. Now, just in case someone was missed, find somebody else, maybe on the other side of you, and tell them, say, God is more than enough to meet your needs. He's more than enough. He's Almighty God. And so God was communicating to Abram, listen, I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am more than enough. Amen. Guess what? God's saying the same thing to you. Wherever you are at this moment, whatever you are dealing with at this moment, God is more than enough. He's more than, he's Almighty God. Almighty. Think about that for a moment. Almighty. Almighty. Not 50% mighty. Not 75% mighty. Y'all remember the song that you maybe your parents used to sing, or maybe you used to sing it, 99 and a half won't do. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
99, well, when it comes to God, 99 and a half won't, that don't get it, because God is Almighty. There's nothing he can't handle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, before I close, I want to talk about three things relating to God himself. Number one, he is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere present. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23rd chapter. Jeremiah chapter 23. And listen to what God says. I won't take the time to read the whole thing, but listen to this. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I a God near at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? In other words, God's saying, I am everywhere present. No one can hide from me. There's nowhere that I'm not there. Glory to God. Now, keep going. Let's go to the book of Psalms. 139. Y'all still with me? Just give me a few more minutes. I want to read this to you. And this is David, one of the Psalms of David. And he asked a question, where can I go from you? Excuse me, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Glory be to God. Wherever, David says, wherever I am, Lord, you are there. A few years ago, this country sent some men to the moon some years back. Guess what? God was up there already. He was there when they got there. If they ever get to Mars, he'll be there too. God is everywhere present. Glory to God. Number two, in other words, God is omnipresent, number one. Number two, he's omnipotent or omnipotent. In other words, what am I saying? He is all powerful. Now, let me back up to God is everywhere present. That should bring comfort to us. Because God knows where you are. He knows where I am. And he is present right there with you, whether you feel like it or not. Number two, as I said, he's omnipotent or omnipotent, if you want to say it that way. He's all powerful. There is nothing or no one more powerful than God. That's the reason he told Abram, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. There's no problem that you have that God cannot deliver you from. Did you hear me? Nothing. And the third one is omniscient, which means all-knowing. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And Peter had a revelation of that. Go to the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, John chapter 21. And y'all, I think you are familiar with Peter's story at the crucifixion, how he blew it, right? He did. He denied the Lord. But Jesus is so loving. And this is a wonderful story because, you know, if we've messed up, all we got to do is go back and look at Peter. And Jesus forgave Peter because Peter denied him. Three times he denied it. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he was looking for Peter. Some of us would have said, forget him. He denied me. Not only did he deny me once, he denied me three times. And he did some cussing in the process. Forget him, but not Jesus. Jesus was looking for Peter. But listen, let me read on here. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, because Jesus knew Peter, right? And let me tell you something. When you mess up, and even after you've repented before God, you've repented from your heart, the devil will come back to you and remind you of what you did. And try to tell you, how could you? Now, you've already got it settled with God. You did what the Word of God tells us to do in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've gone to him. You've repented. And he forgave you. But then the enemy will try to come back and remind you of what you did and try to tell you, how in the world could you do that? And you call yourself a Christian. How could you let that happen? How could you let that happen? I believe that was happening to Peter. And Jesus was there to comfort him. So let me read on. Verse 16. Then said he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And listen what Peter's response. Listen to his response. And he said to him, Lord, you know what? You know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. But Peter was testifying to the fact that Jesus was all-knowing. He was all-knowing, and he is all-knowing. Glory to God. I want to read you a verse, and this will be the last one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So we must understand that God is everywhere present. He's all powerful, and he knows everything. He's all knowing. And that covers any situation, any difficulty that we may encounter in our life. God is greater. Amen. I don't know, Tony and Ken, Paul, Barbara, some of the rest of you, maybe Miss Lily, years ago, and I don't know if y'all was at the church at Maranatha, I led a song. I didn't sing much, but I led a song. God is greater than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Any of y'all remember me leading that song? Had my little choir behind me. I know you were there. I don't know if y'all were there yet. I'm not, because we were still downtown. So, yeah. But I led the song. God is greater than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And I want to leave this with you as I close out today. God is greater than any mountain that you can or cannot see. Give him praise, will you? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word.